भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयाय उदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Personality Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, unto the Goddess of Fortune, Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva. Nasta prayashu abdeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the Personality Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 12. Yama Uvacha Varo Mad Anyo Jagatas Tatas Tatustas Cha Atam Proktam Protavad Atra Vishvam Yada Shanto Asya Stiti Janma Nasya Nasya tadvad yasya vishesha loka Yama uvacha Romad anyo jagata tatas tuscha cha Atam proktam tadvad yatra vishvam Yara Shanto Asya Stiti Yama Nasha Nashi Auto Bad Yasha Vishesha Lokaha Someone else?
Stiti Jan Manasa
Maharaji's word for word, Yamuna Vacha. Yamaraj replied, Vara, superior, Mat, than me, Anya, another, Jagata, of all moving things, Tastu Saha, of non-moving things, Cha, and Otam, crossword, crosswise, Proktam, lengthwise, Patama, Patavat, like a woven cloth, Yat, in whom, Vishvam, the cosmic manifestation, Yat, of whom, Amshata, from the partial expansions, Asya, of this universe, Titi, the maintenance, Janma, the creation, Anashaha, the annihilation, Nasi, in the nose, Atovat, like the rope, Yashya, of whom, Vase, under the control, Cha, and Lokaha, the whole creation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yamaraj said, my dear servants, you have accepted me as the Supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one Supreme Master and Controller. The partial manifestation of His personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He's like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by Him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamaraj. To eradicate their doubts, Yamaraj immediately replied, yes, there is one supreme controller above everything. Yamaraj is in charge of some of the moving, living entities, namely the human beings, but the animals who also move are not under His control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong, and among them, only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraj. Although Yamaraj is a controller, he's only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. Supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the Supreme Controller. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.7, Mata Parantara Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. My dear Dhananjaya Arjuna, No one is superior to me. Therefore, Yamaraj immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistants, the Yamadutas, by confirming that there is a supreme controller above all others. Sri Madhavacharya explains the word Otam Proktam refers to the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal to the cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed by the following verse from the Skanda Purana. Yata Kata Pata Sutra Otam Praktascha Sa Sataha Ebam Vishva Idam Vishvam Otam Proktam Cha Samstitam. Like two threads, horizontal and vertical, of which is a quilt is manufactured, Lord Vishnu is situated as the vertical and horizontal cause of this cosmic manifestation.
Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagadamayam Danti Swapadantikam Vanchikalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhuvebhyascha Parinam Bhavaneva Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation once again. My dear servants, you have accepted me as the supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all others, demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestation of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He's like the two threads that form length and breadth of woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope and its nose. So this is the story, historic story of Yamara, of Ajamil, which happened in bygone ages. It's not explained clearly, but Ajamil was 88 years old. He had 10 children, and he named his last child, 10th child, Narayan. And because he did that, he was very affectionate to his child, and he was always calling his child, Narayan, please come and eat. Narayan, sit down. Narayan, do this, do that. So then death approached Ajamil. He wasn't prepared for death. Rake Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna wants you to die, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. So this is not in our hands how long we live, whether we live or die, or how long we live or die, or when we're going to die. So Ajamil unsuspectedly was at the point of death. And at the point of death, actually Ajamil, the Yamadutas were performing their service. And their service is to punish the sinful living entities, human beings. The Yamadutas, they don't punish the animals, they don't punish the demigods, they don't punish the other living entities in this universe. The demigods only, even if they commit sinful activities, which we'll hear about in this canto about Indra performing different sinful activities,
They suffer reaction, but they don't get punished. They don't have to go to Yamaraj. The demigods simply live according to their karma. When their karma runs out, they then come back to the earth planet and take birth again as a human being. So only the human beings in the earth planet are judged by the Yamadutas, taken to Yamaraj for judgment. So Ajamil, in his childhood, he was a dutiful Brahmin. He worshipped Narayan. He followed all the rules and regulations of the Brahminical culture. But at one point, he saw a sudra and a sudrani, a man and a woman embracing, and he became attracted to that sudrani, that prostitute, and he married her and gave up all his Brahminical activities, even to the point of neglecting his parents, rejected his wife. He became a very bad person. Not only did he reject his wife, reject his miracle qualities, reject everything, he didn't just become an ordinary person, but he became a very bad person. So he would rob and steal and do anything he could to get money to support his family, support the prostitute. So then, at the time of death, the Yamadutas came and were taking with ropes when the soul leaves the body, gets a temporary subtle body, and the Yamadutas take that subtle body to Yamaraj for punishment. So at that time, he helplessly called out to his son, whose name was Narayan. So because he did that, he called Narayan. He was remembering his son. Well, we read earlier in the purports that he actually remembered Narayan from his childhood activities. And this is also confirmed in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that he was actually calling Narayan, the Supreme Personality, Godhead. So then the Vishnu Dutas came, and they stopped the Yamadutas. They said, no, this man is no longer subject to punishment. He's sinless now that he's chanted the name of Narayan. Of course, his chanting was Namabhas. It wasn't pure Shuranam, but he didn't chant out of any motivation. He just chanted out of calling the name of Narayan in a helpless condition. So the Vishnu Dutas stopped the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas were surprised because this never happened before to them. There must be many Yamadutas, many Yamarajas, many universes. But these three Yamadutas, who represent body, mind, and words, were checked from taking Ajamil. So then there was a conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas. And the Vishnu Dutas asked the Yamadutas to describe Vedic principles, which the Yamadutas did. And Ajamil, he didn't actually leave it. He was in a coma at that time. And he heard the conversation between the Yamadutas and Vishnu Dutas. And then he went back into the same body, renounced his family, went to Hardwar, performed devotional service, and went back to Godhead. So then the Yamadutas, they were confused. This is actually a very funny story, humorous story. So they went to Yamaraj and they said, well, we thought you were the only controller, but now someone else is judging people. If more than one person judges people, and some people will be say, well, someone's guilty, and someone else will say the same person's innocent, and no one will get judged. And they said to Yamaraj that you should punish these Vishnudutas because they obstructed us from doing our duty. They were convinced that that Ajamil was the candidate to be taken to Yamaraj for punishment. So Yamaraj is now replying to all the questions and the doubts that the Yamadutas had about Ajamil. So Yamaraj says, you know, what is this nonsense you're speaking? Saying that I'm the all-in-all Supreme Controller. So Yamaraj explained that I'm not the Supreme. Here, this purport prabhupada says that Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nadi Nadi Govindam Sarvakar Karna Karnam. That Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna's tool, Bhagavan Swayam. So now we're reading the Bhagavad Gita for the 11th time or 12th time. And in the purport of the first verse, Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavad Gita, all information that's given in all the other scriptures in the world is contained in the Bhagavad Gita, plus more. But we wonder why the people in this world feel that the Bhagavad Gita is a threat to their religious, a threat to the people. You know, in Russia, a few years ago, they tried to ban the Bhagavad Gita. But why? What was the reason for that? We don't. Because the demons, they can't accept that their religion, their way of thinking, their religion, that it could be something else which is more instructive or more precise. And the most the so-called religions of this day, they can't accept that that God is a person. So from the very beginning, Prabhupada translated in purport Bhagavad Gita as it is. One lady came to Prabhupada in the 60s on 2nd Avenue and asked if Srila Prabhupada could recommend a copy of Bhagavad Gita that she could read. And Prabhupada said that it wasn't possible because even though if you go to any bookstore, you'll see there are at least 20 or 30 different translations of Bhagavad Gita. But the person who translated the Bhagavad Gita was materially motivated and gave his own opinion. Therefore, they don't give the exact understanding, exact meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So you may read another version of Bhagavad Gita and not understand anything. It's like Brahmananda. He was reading a Bhagavad Gita, so Prabhupada asked him to read the part of the Bhagavad Gita to him. And he did that, and then Prabhupada asked Brahmananda, please explain what you just read. Brahmananda said, no, I can't explain it. So he didn't understand it. So the other editions of Bhagavad Gita, they don't explain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, although Krishna says so in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna speaking, Bhagavad Gita means the song of God. We have the There's the material world, which is called Devi Dham. Then there's the abode of Lord Shiva, Mahesh Dham. Then there's the Vaikuntha world, Hari Dham. And then there's Golok Vrindavan, which is the highest abode where Krishna lives and enjoys his pastimes. So everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna means the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or greater than. The all-attractive one. Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Krishna possesses six opulences in full, which no one else has. All wealth, all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all renunciation. If someone may say they're God or claim to be God, they have to have all six opulences in full. This is only possible for the Godhead. And we know from Nectar Devotion, the living entity in the material world, the Jiva soul, has 50 qualities. And the demigods have 55 qualities that the Jiva don't have. And the Vishnu forms of Krishna have 5 more qualities, which makes 60 qualities. But Krishna has 4 qualities that no one else has. He has a beautiful form, he plays on his flute, he has pastimes, he has wonderful devotees, and he has a beautiful bodily form. So this is the what the devotees in this movement understand, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Krishna, that God is a person. He tried to tell that to other religious leaders, and they are not open-minded, and they're reluctant. They don't want to hear this, that God is a person. They say that they think when you say someone's a person, you must have a material body like you and me. But they don't even want to hear about it. They don't even want to discuss it. They refuse to even discuss it for the most part. And the material scientists, they say that life is just a combination of chemicals. So we challenge them. We say, we'll give you all the chemicals. You produce life. But they say, well, we can't do it now, but in the future, we may be able to do it in the future. They're making some experiments to try to produce life from chemicals. But chemicals are, if someone dies and we give the scientists all the chemicals, they can't make a dead body come back to life. So life does not come from chemicals. The soul, we're all Jivera Surubhaya Nitya Krishna Das, eternal service of Krishna, we're spirit soul. That is our true identity as the eternal servants of Krishna. And is the process of bhakti yoga. We're trying to realize that we're not this body, hum brahmasmi. Even when Lord Chaitanya, first Krishna appears 5,000 years ago, he says that he that he appears in every millennium, which is one day of Brahma. This is Krishna, two-handed form Krishna, with a blackish complexion, appears in the Dwapara Yuga, and he performs his pastimes and to prove that he was the Supreme Personality Godhead. First, Krishna took birth in Vrindavan. When Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a child, it was Narayan, an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So this is a mystery, but so how was he born in Mathura? So Krishna was Simultaneously, Mother Yasoda gave birth to a baby girl, and Mother Devaki gave birth to a child at the same time. So the Vasudeva took the baby girl because he knew that Kamsa would try to kill the child, because Kamsa heard a prophecy at the wedding ceremony when the Vasudeva and Devaki were on their way to their house after the wedding ceremony. A voice from the sky announced to Kamsa that the eighth child will be the cause of your death. So Kamsa was killed all of Devaki's children because he thought they were going to kill him. So Vasudeva took this baby girl to Mother Yasoda and took the baby girl with him back to Mathura. But Krishna had taken birth simultaneously as at the same time, and the real Nandananda Krishna replaced the child that Mother Yasoda had given birth to. And it says she had fallen asleep and could not remember whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So this Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan, and he had, from childhood, he had his Vrindavan pastimes and killed so many demons. Even when he was only a few months, before he could even see properly, the first demon was Putana. She smeared her breast with deadly poison with the idea that she was going to kill Krishna. But Krishna sucked her breast and sucked her life air at the same time and killed his vicious demon. And this went on. Kamsa kept sending demons to kill Krishna, and Krishna killed them all. So only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do these activities. So Krishna is simultaneously in Vaikuntha, he's in Golok Vrindavan. In Golok Vrindavan, he's having his Nitya Lila pastimes, his eternal pastimes. But in the material world, in Gokul, he's also having his pastimes. And when Gop Kumar went in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, came to Gokul, he didn't see it. First he went to Golok, and then he came back to Gokul. He didn't see any difference. This Vrindavan Gokul is a direct replica of Golok Vrindavan. But you have to have the eyes to actually see it. Premanjana Trita Bhakti Bilochanena. You have to have the eyes tinged with the salve of love. In other words, well, if one is not free from material contamination, if one is still infested with anarthas in the heart, then you will not be able to see this Gokul, the pastimes of Krishna, which are eternally going on here right now, but they're not manifest to the conditioned souls. So those are materially contaminated. So anyway, by reading the books that Srila Prabhupada gave us, Krishna books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we get a clear understanding that Krishna is true, Bhagavan Sayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one's equal to or greater than him. So this is the fact of Yamaraj, who is a Mahajan, wanted to impress upon his servants that he was the controller, but he was not the supreme controller. And he can punish the sinful, but he can only punish so many human beings, because only human beings know the difference between right and wrong. Animals are not accountable. If a monkey steals your glasses, he's not accountable. He doesn't have to go to jail. Or if they steal whatever they steal, they're just doing it because that's the nature of monkeys, to steal things. So animals can't be trained and can't understand right from wrong. But only a human being can understand, and due to our free will, we've come in this material world because we have free will. We've chosen to come here. Somehow or other, we had the choice whether we could serve Krishna, be a loving servant of Krishna, or whether we can come in the material world and try to be Krishna. So somehow or other, we chose to come into the material world and try to be enjoyers. So that's why, and the all living entities are bound in the material world, and due to their karma, they're going buddha, buddha, paliate. They're going to sometimes they're demigods, sometimes human beings, sometimes they're insects, sometimes they're animals. The soul is repeatedly going through different changes, different bodies. But the only way to get free from this cycle of repeated birth and death is to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. This is the only way one can get free from this cycle of birth and death. The material world, it is Dukkhayalam Ashashvatam, a place where misery and suffering take place, repeated birth and death. There's no real pleasure in this material world. But in society today, everyone, 99.9% of the population, they're trying to enjoy sense gratification, thinking that sense gratification is the ultimate goal of life. And therefore, they're not aware of the fact that there's something else that they can actually get free from this cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada, in 1966, came to America in 1965. In 1966, he knew that you had to register the society, incorporate the society to be recognized as a legal organization. So the lawyer said, we'll call it the International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada rejected that idea, said, no, I want to call International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because God consciousness has a vague conception. But he wanted the clear conception. He wanted everyone to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not Hindu. Krishna, the people think we're Hindus. But we're not Hindus. We're not trying to convert people from one religion to another religion. Javera Surapoy Nitya Krishna Das. We're all the eternal servants of Krishna. That is the identity of every soul in this world. So Prabhupada said, whatever religion you're in, if you're learning how to love God, that is true religion. So now Krishna came 5,000 years ago, then Lord Chaitanya came. Namo Mahavanadaya Krishna Premitate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Gurudev Senaha. So Lord Chaitanya came as the most munificent incarnation. Because Krishna demanded surrender, where Lord Chaitanya didn't make any demands. He simply came to deliver everyone. Where Krishna killed demons, Lord Chaitanya came to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna Naya, Haya. So Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar. So when he was coming to Jagannath Puri, Lord Nityananda broke his danda. He had taken sannyas. But Lord Nityananda didn't like the fact that Lord Chaitanya was carrying a danda, which was represented in ashram. He thought it wasn't necessary. So he broke his danda. So Lord Chaitanya wasn't pleased with that. So he said to the devotees, you can either go first or I'll go first. So they told Lord Chaitanya, you go first. So Lord Chaitanya came to Puri by himself. He went in front of Lord Jagannath, and in ecstasy, he fell unconscious. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there at that time to witness this. But the Chokidar, they thought this was some kind of madman. They wanted to beat him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stopped them, took him to his house. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't showing any symptoms of life. But then the Bhattacharya took a cotton swab and held it up to his nose and could and it saw that it moved slightly. But then he could understand that this person was in Mahabhav, the highest form of ecstasy. So, this is the... But still, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the reservoir of all bad logic. And he was a Mayavadi. He didn't believe in Mayavadi, I think that everything is Maya, that the whole idea is to merge. So his brother-in-law said, no, he proved it from the scripture. He told the Bhattacharya, you're a learned man, but you should consider that the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, they substantiate that Krishna comes in the Kali Yuga as the Chana avatar, hidden avatar, because he came as Bhakti avatar in the role of devotee. But his complexion is golden, not black. So Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is gold on the outside, but black on the inside. So Lord Chaitanya is a Yuga avatar, and he came to preach, to give everyone the chanting, the whole process of chanting the holy name of Krishna, so we can become purified and go back home, back to Godhead. So this verse also gives two analogies. It says he's like two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. So Krishna is the maintainer. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu maintain the three modes of material nature. They're the guna avatars. Brahma is the mode of passion, Shiva is the mode of ignorance, and Vishnu is the mode of goodness. So Vishnu is the maintainer, Brahma is the creator, the secondary creator, and Shiva is the in charge of destruction. And it says also that the world is controlled by the Lord. This is a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. So these two analogies mean once you put the rope in the nose of a bull, then it can easily be controlled. So the driver, he pulls the rope in this way, that way, to control the bull. So Krishna is not the maintainer, but he's also the controller of everything. He's the supreme controller. And no one else can claim that they're the controller. Some people may say, the last Naramaya is the one someone thinks that I become God. But we say we're the kicking God. We kick you in the head. This is the nonsense. Think that someone could become God or like God. So Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna to prove that he was God. So if someone says, I'm God, then you say, well, let us see your universal form. But they say, well, I can show it to you, but not right now. Anyway, we don't accept that. Anyone can become God. God is God, and we're all part and parcel of God. So this Yamaraj will go on to explain more to his servants about the supreme controller and eradicate all their doubts and eradicate all the doubts that anyone might have if they read this sixth canto, these stories about Ajamil, that the chanting the holy name, Naman Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. So therefore, when we're chanting every day, we should chant attentively and hear the holy name 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And because Krishna is not different in his name, form, quality, pastimes, it's all in the absolute platform, it's all transcendental. It can be continued daily without getting tired, without becoming bored. If we try to chant anyone's name in the material world, we can't do it on a regular basis, the same name. You can become tired, bored. But Krishna's name is ever sweet, and therefore we should try to, with great care and attention, chant 16 rounds every day and try to come to the level of Shuddhanam, and therefore attain Bhava Bhakti and then Prema Bhakti. So there's much more to be said about this verse, but time is up. So I have to stop now, have some service. Hare Krishna. I can't answer questions, no time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhagavatam ki.